Gideon's International. Deborah Murkison thought she had it all. Wonderful husband, 9-year-old son, home in the suburbs, and a dog. But when her husband left her for another woman, her picture-perfect life unraveled. And she finally decided that the only way out for her was to take her own life. In her bedroom, she reached into the nightstand for the gun that she knew was there, and her hand fell instead on a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. She opened it at random to Psalm 34, and she just read and reread and reread that psalm. And verse 17 especially gripped her. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The next Sunday, she went to the Baptist church near her home, and she prayed with the pastor to receive Jesus into her heart. That same Sunday, in the service, during testimony time, one of the Gideons, one of the members of the church who was a Gideon, spoke of having handed out New Testaments in the local school that week. And it was he who had given Deborah's son the New Testament that saved her life. So she had the opportunity of meeting him as well. When the Gideons placed that scripture into that student's hand, that was not the fulfillment of their purpose. That was the first step in the process. The process that God used to bring Deborah to saving faith in Jesus. For over 100 years, our single objective has been to win men and women, boys and girls, to Christ. And this we do through associating together for service, through personal testimony and personal witness, and through placing God's word in the traffic lanes of life. The beginnings of the Gideon's International were in 1899. A lot of things were different back then. One of which was that if you were a traveling salesman and you took a motel room for the night, unless you were made of money and wanted to rent or pay for both beds, you only got the one and some other random stranger got the other. And that's just sort of normal life in 1899. John Nicholson and Samuel Hill were sharing a room. And John Nicholson was getting ready for bed, and he got out his Bible and just kind of explained to Samuel Hill that it is his habit to study the Bible before he retires. And that suited Samuel Hill very well. He was also a Christian, and he said that was his habit. And they just had their Bible study together that night. And later they hatched the idea. I think they had another time that they shared a motel room, and I don't know for sure did that just happen or was it planned. I rather suspect the latter. But at that meeting, they said we ought to make an association for the Christian traveling men to meet each other. What Daryl was praying for the Christians to meet and to fellowship together, and out of that vision was born the Gideon's International. I don't imagine that they could have dreamed what that association would grow to. Today, 119 years later, we have nearly 280,000 members, Gideon's and Auxiliary, in 201 countries, territories, and possessions around the world. We're placing and distributing scriptures in 107 languages at a rate of nearly 3 per second. Somewhere around the world today, those scriptures are going out at a distribution. Placements are happening about 90 million per year and just over 2 billion in the life of the association. I am not sharing those numbers to toot our own horn. It's to the glory of God, and it's wonderful what God is doing, and it is only possible through the partnership of God's people in the supporting local churches. Gideon's are perhaps best known for hotel Bible placements. That's where John Price found his. John Price was 13. He was in Miami. His mother was passed out drunk on the other bed in the hotel room. His father was out bar hopping. He felt very alone and very bored. And looking around the room, he saw this Bible. Now, John's parents were atheists, and they had told him not to read the Bible because it was full of fairy tales. But they were not in a very good position to squelch his teenage curiosity at this point. And so he picked it up, and he opened it. And he opened it to Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He slapped the Bible shut. He said, this book knows him. It was real. It pierced his soul. He took that Bible home with him when they left the motel room. He hid it among his stuff. He read it whenever his parents weren't around. And one day he realized his need for God, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Today, John is serving the Lord as a pastor. And the promise of God's word in Isaiah 55:11 is once again demonstrated. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The Bible that John Price found in his hotel room was placed there because one of God's people, perhaps one of you, gave $5 to the Gideons. $5 buys a motel room Bible, which might have a lifespan of around 6 years. It varies, of course. And during that time, it would potentially reach up to 2,300 individuals. Now, in math and science class, they teach you that numbers always need units. It's not just 2,300, it's 2,300 individuals. 2,300 real people with real needs and real stories. People like Robert. Robert grew up in a dysfunctional home. He got into drugs and alcohol at an early age. After 18 years of drug and alcohol abuse, Robert was living on the streets, sleeping in a cardboard box under the bridge, eating out of trash cans. He saw no hope for his life. He decided to scrape together what little cash he had from panhandling, check into a motel room, and end it all. Alone in that motel room, he heard an audible voice saying, "Go ahead and kill yourself. Nobody cares." And it shook him. He had never heard voices before. And he cried out, "Lord, help me." And immediately he remembered he talked to a street evangelist that day, and he had scribbled his phone number on a piece of paper and given it to him. And he fished that paper out of his pocket, and he called that number. And the evangelist on the other end said, "Open the nightstand. There's a Bible in there." He said, "Is this guy psychic or crazy?" But he opened the nightstand, and there was a Bible in there. And the evangelist took him through the places in the Bible and led him to the Lord over the phone using the Gideon Bible from the motel nightstand. Today, Robert and his wife have started a number of ministries helping people who are homeless and fighting drug addiction. And Robert thanks the Lord for the ministry of the Gideons that allows pastors to say with confidence, "Look in the nightstand," knowing that there will be a Bible there when it is needed most. Although we are probably best known for hotel Bible placements, actually 80% of the scriptures that we distribute are placed into the hands of students. On a recent international scripture blitz in Guatemala, Virginia Torres, a school teacher, was overcome with emotion when the Gideons walked into her classroom. Through tears of joy, she told them that she had been praying fervently that somehow all of her students would receive a copy of God's Word. Many teachers from around the world have given assurances that they will use the Bible as their primary reading textbook. Earlier this year, Nakuru, Kenya, had their first ever international scripture blitz. And as they were doing a distribution at a school in the Rangai area, hope I'm saying that close to right, the headmaster was an elderly lady who had retired from the government school system, and seeing the need for a school in the Rangai area, had just started it and was running it on her own. And when they came, she said, "I have been praying for years that God would send Bibles for my students, and today he has sent the Gideons to my school, and each of my students will now have his word to read and learn from each school day. Praise God." Here in the United States, things are a little different than that. Many of us remember fondly the presentation of New Testaments in the fifth grade classrooms that used to happen, and still happens in some places, but in many other places it's not happening. It's not allowed. So the Gideons have had to adapt to that climate change, if you will. And one of the things that we're now doing is sidewalk distributions. So a school like HMS 7, HMS 8, the middle schools, the sidewalk out front is public property, and there's certain First Amendment protections that go with what you can and can't do on public property, and we make arrangements ahead, and we let them know that what we're going to be doing, and the local administration has been very, very supportive of our efforts there, but that's how we're getting the scriptures into the hands of students now in Hutchinson. In the 7th and 8th grade, they have the opportunity, as they leave school, to take one if they wish. Another exciting initiative is the Life Book. And I wish I had one but I don't. The Life Book is an annotated Gospel of John. It's the entire text along with notes, and it's written in a way that appeals to the high school crowd. It is designed for Christian students to give as a gift to their friends at the public high schools. So far, students giving other students gifts is not illegal, so we're all good. the program is operated and funded by the Gideons, but it's operated by the local churches. Youth pastors and other church leaders receive the life books from the Gideons, get them into the hands of their high school students, and then they head out into the high schools and give them out. Since its beginnings in 2010, over 2 million students have participated in the program, and over 31 million life books have been distributed in public high schools. One of the students that received that a life book, Taylor from West Virginia, wrote, "My friend gave me this life book. The day I got it, I started to read, and I got hooked on it. I just couldn't get myself to stop. On this day, September 13, 2013, I have accepted the Lord into my heart and will let him shine through me." Another recent innovation is the free Gideon Bible app on your smartphone. Now, I know there are a host of Bible apps, and they each have their distinctive features. But how many of them give you the ability to read scripture or hear it read in over 1,100 different languages? That would be the Bible, the Gideon Bible. And then there's if you download the version you need in a Wi-Fi area, you can go out of Wi-Fi and still have it and still share it by Bluetooth to the people that you're reaching. There are places in third world countries where having stacks of stuff to give out does strange stuff to the cultural dynamics of the community. And just interacting one-on-one and saying, hey, let me see your smartphone. Hey, look up the Gideon Bible app. And it changes the thing. It's available on iTunes and the App Store, and some of you multitasking millennials will probably have it on your phone before I'm done here this evening. In many places around the world, the Gideons carry out their work with circumspectly because of the persecution, but they courageously carry on the work in ways that foreign missionaries never could. And we have the unique opportunity in standing with them and providing scriptures for them to distribute. Pakistan is one such country. There are two Gideons who operate a Christian bookstore there. And one day the door opened and a teenage boy walked in and informed them that he had been sent to kill them. The owner of the store said, if you are going to kill me, I'm not scared, I'm ready to die, but do me a favor, before you kill me, read that on the wall there. And the boy went over and started reading a beautiful framed plaque of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And he got most of the way through it and he stopped. He said, what am I doing? I came here to kill you and I'm reading this. And just then his cell phone rang. He answered it. He put it away. He said, they have called me back. I don't know why, but I will be back and I will kill you. And he turned to leave. And then he stopped and he said, where can I get that? And the Gideon said, it's in the New Testament. May I give you one? And he gave him the New Testament. He took it and he left. Sometime later, he got a telephone call. The boy on the other end said, I've been reading the New Testament and I have become a Christian. They know it and they are going to kill me. I'm not afraid. I'm ready to die. It's sad, but it's also beautiful. The power of God's word. Here at Center, our prayer focus this month is on the Muslim world. So I've been drawn to the accounts of God's word through the Gideons in that sphere. Like the story of Faria. Faria walked over the stony mountainside in Albania to a neighboring village where the Gideons were distributing scriptures at a school. Faria, in this passionately Muslim country, Albania, she had never seen a Bible. But now she knelt down in her traditional long robes and asked for one of her own. Of course, they gave her one. And with great excitement, she found the plan of salvation in the back of the New Testament. And God was speaking to her. She bowed her head and prayed the prayer on the decision page, and became a new creation in Christ. Well, she walked back to her village. The first thing she did was tell her friends about Jesus and showed them her New Testament. Of course, they all wanted one, but that wasn't possible. She very carefully separated the four Gospels out of her New Testament and gave Matthew to one and Mark to another, Luke to another, and John to another. They all went and read through the scripture, and each one of them was moved and gave their lives to the Lord, even without the decision page in the back. It was about 6 months later that the Gideons had saved up enough money to hire a taxi to go to that village to give out scriptures. None of them owned a car. But they made the rugged mountain trip to Faria's village. Bursting with joy, Faria and her four friends explained how they'd been praying for their village and praying that each of them would one day have a complete New Testament so they could become modern missionaries right where they were. Now, we all know that expecting the sinner's prayer in the back of the Testament to be the fulfillment of the Great Commission is naive. It's just oversimplistic. There is a need for follow-up and discipleship. There is a need for translation and literacy training. There is a need for church planning and accountability. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And the Gideons are fulfilling one part in that chain of making disciples. In his book, Miraculous Moments, Jerry Truesdell shares one incident where the Word of God by itself spoke to the reader's heart and changed his life. I'm going to read about a page and a half here. Jerry writing at first, "We met a former Muslim man who made it his specialty to pursue Muslim background Christians and try to lure them back into Islam. As it turned out, however, he was compelled by his own study of the Bible to become a Christ follower himself, despite the fact that this made him subject to the death penalty." He shares his perspective here. "I come from an area that is 98% Muslim. I went to Quranic school, but I did not know the Quran much at that time. But my grandfather was an imam, and my father also. So every morning we would sit there, just as we do now as Christians, and they would read the Quran to us. And one day my grandfather taught us in the morning, and we were talking about the death of Muhammad the Prophet. When Muhammad was dying, his daughter Fatima was standing close by his bedside, and Fatima asked, 'Father, you are dying, but where are you going from here, and what will happen to us?' And Muhammad said, 'Ask me anything from my wealth, but I cannot save you from Allah's punishment. By Allah, though I am the apostle of Allah, yet I do not know what Allah will do to me.' That's why whenever Muslims call the name of Muhammad, they say, 'Peace and blessing be upon him,' because he left that instruction. So that was in my head. Now, at that time, I was very interested in challenging Christians, and there was one pastor who used to walk several miles from his own village to my village to preach. And one day, he went to give me the pocket Bible, you know, the New Testament, the Gideon Bible. And he told me, 'I've preached to you this whole time, but you start reading this Bible and start from John.' I liked reading it because I wanted to pick some things I could challenge Christians with. But while I was reading it, I came across this passage where Jesus said, 'I am going to the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know.' I ran to my grandfather and said, 'Grandfather, what did Muhammad say when he was dying?' And he repeated those things to me. I said, 'Grandfather, look at Jesus. He said he was going to his Father and would prepare a place for his followers and that he would come back again. But Muhammad doesn't know where he's going. So which one would you follow?' And my grandfather said, 'The one that knows where he is going.' And I said, 'I am going to a church.' And that's how I came to know the Lord." That man remains anonymous, as does a man we will call Mr. Minang. Mr. Minang came from the Minangkabau region of Indonesia on the island of West Sumatra, a very staunch, very anti-Christian people. At that time, the island of West Sumatra had about 8 million people, 200 Christians, and one evangelical church. Mr. Minang was sent to California for a two-week business trip. The evening of the first day he was there, he went to the desk clerk and asked for activities within walking distance. She said, "It is too dangerous to go outside after dark. Go back to your room." So he went to his room and he looked around and he found the Bible. He started reading it, and increasingly he was drawn to it. He read from it every evening, hours at a time, during his two-week stay in California. And when he left, he took the Bible with him. Kind of a common theme, isn't it? It's a kind of stealing that the Gideons can endorse. He hid it among his things, and he got it home and kept it hidden. Whenever his wife wasn't around, he would read in it. He started sneaking off to the church, and he gave his heart to the Lord, began making plans to be baptized. And then he said he really needs to confess to his wife what he's been up to. So he told her about the Bible. Oh, yes, she said, I found the Bible in your things right after you got home. I've been reading it too. And soon after, she also received Jesus as her Savior. Mr. Minang went to Bible school in Jakarta, in the capital city, to become to return to Minangkabau and reach his own people with the good news of salvation. I don't know if I will ever have the opportunity to go to Minangkabau. But when that Gideon-placed Bible went there in Mr. Minang's luggage, I went. And equally as important, you went. Because together we go. And we are all part of that. When Sam Nisley and I joined other Gideons on the campus of Wichita State University, we were privileged to place scripture into the hands of students from around the world. We cannot all go to all of those places, but they are coming to us. And they have the opportunity to take those scriptures back with them. We obviously don't know what all happens to every scripture, but we do know that God is working mightily through that avenue. China is a country that is also near to our hearts here because of Frida's involvement there. And it's a country where the traditional structure of the Gideon ministry just doesn't work quite that way. But God has opened a door of opportunity in China. The government has permitted presentations and distributions of scriptures in the registered churches, and Christian businessmen are allowed to offer Bibles at their place of business. And through these two avenues, millions of scriptures have gone out in the People's Republic of China, aka Red China. It's just amazing how, well, scripture says that God turns the heart of the ruler like a water course. And we can try to guess at what their cynical motives may be, or we can just say, who cares? And take the opportunity while it's presented. While much has changed in the work of the Gideons, much has remained the same. We are still an association of born-again Christian business and professional men who, together with our wives, the auxiliary, operate as a missionary arm of the local church. Every Gideon is an active member of his local church. In fact, you cannot join the Gideons without a positive reference from your pastor. Amidst all the changes, our mission and our core values have not changed, and the three things I'm going to ask of you this evening have not changed. One, please pray for us. This is God's work. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Marion Crable recently helped on the distribution at HMS 8 on Adams Street. And most of the students who were offered a New Testament accepted, some declined. But one made a lasting impression on Brother Marion. She walked straight up to Marion and stared at him. When he offered her a New Testament, she made no response, just continued staring. Suddenly, her whole body started shaking. And then she just turned and walked away. We're involved in a spiritual ministry. We're involved in spiritual warfare. And we need you to stand with us in prayer, to strengthen our arms, if you will, for that work. Pray for open doors of opportunity. Pray that the scriptures would be read and that lives would be changed. And pray that individuals who have made a commitment through the ministry of the word would become connected to a Bible-believing local church where they can be discipled. If you have an interest in staying abreast of current prayer concerns, you can access the prayer list at gideons.org. And you can also subscribe to the blog there as well if you're interested. In addition to your prayers, please give as the Lord leads. I am not even going to apologize for asking for money. I know there are many good ways to invest in the Lord's work, and I'm not trying to take money away from anywhere else. But when I think of the returns on the investment of $5 for a motel Bible, $1.25 for a school testament, I just get excited. This church has taken offerings for the Gideons faithfully over the years. We thank you for that. You do not need to wait for the next Gideon offering to share in the work. All the ladies at the sewing could tell us all about the next part. There is in the back a display of Gideon Bible cards, cards in memory, in recognition, graduations, etc., just thinking of you. You can even pick up just this insert and put it into the card that you have, and then send a check to the Gideons to send scriptures around the world in honor of, or in memory of, the person that you're wanting to remember. Or you can send e-cards if you're so inclined. Go to sendtheword.org, then you can do the e-card thing. The third thing that some of you might consider is to become a Gideon. The needs are not just around the world, they are around the corner. They're on the sidewalk in front of Hutchinson Middle School 7. They are in the rooms of the Motel 6 in South Hutchinson. If you are a born-again businessman or professional with a burden for the lost, we'd love to have you. The question is sometimes asked, why just professionals and businessmen? What's up with that? What makes you so special? And it can get a little sticky, all right? let's unpack that just a little bit. First of all, there is the history. There's the way this started as an association of like-minded and like-experienced individuals. There is a legacy of trust and respect when the Gideons, with their 100-year history, come in to a place asking to do, you know, to place the Bibles in the motels. The makeup of the association is part of what gives the confidence for motels to say sure. I am not a member, nor will I ever be a member, of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Those of you that watched the ball game on the end of school need no further commentary on that. Or of the Black Congressional Caucus, or of the Organization of Women in Healthcare. These are all specialized associations that are made up of individuals with these particular common characteristic. And I believe that each makes a stronger contribution because of a narrow focus and a homogeneous membership. And all are needed in God's kingdom. So I hope that helps a bit, at least. We have a program called the Friends of Gideons for those who are not qualified to be Gideons, either occupationally or because you are in the ministry. Gideons is a lay organization, so anybody who's ordained is not eligible, but you can become a friend. Anybody could be a friend of the Gideons, and it's a way of staying more connected, of being more systematic in support. So if you're interested in that, talk to me afterwards. We have a little bit of time, and I would open it up for questions if you have some, and I will answer them if I can. Do any of you have questions about the Gideons and the work? David. It varies. The plan is that the Gideons visit there often enough to keep them replenished. I know that there are some that's part of. They have volunteered that their housekeeping department will do that. But there are more motels in the North Camp area, which is north of 4th Street, and they try to make a point of making sure they are well stocked before the state fair and before the basketball tournaments in March. So, yeah, you're right. With all these people walking off with Bibles, it'd be good to make sure that we're taking care of getting new ones in. When I helped at Motel 6 the last time, there was only one room that didn't have a Bible in it. There was a number that we replaced because they were looking a little worn. One that didn't have a Bible in it, and about four rooms later, there was one that had one in each of two nightstands. So I don't know if they got together and had a Bible study or what. Laverne. That is an individual decision for the motel management, of course. And so in the South Camp area, we are in Motel 6 and Best Host, just on the south side of 4th. We have never been in the Alaskan Motel there in South Hutch. And something tells me that would be a good thing if we were, just looking at the general advertising scheme of things there. But that is something that the motel needs to, a decision that they make. We make appeals. We tell them how that could help them. But that's ultimately up to them. I am not aware of places where a hotel owner would not be free to accept that if they were minded to. The schools in most of them are not. We have 312 has been open. Don Etchison gave the last presentation to fifth graders at Partridge just this spring, as that's now closing down. But they have been doing Yoder and Haven as well. That is the anomaly anymore. That's not the norm. And so the sidewalk distributions at the Hutchinson Middle Schools go on, but there are places is it Union Valley Elementary north on Pennington there that did not have a sidewalk. They, you know, when the school buses pull off the road, they are on school property, and so that never has been a good way to get in. So yeah, that's I guess they have to wait to high school and get the life book. Nathan.
Just kind of curious to get in training or how you deal with opposition, like you're on campus, for example, handing out testaments, etc.
There are some guidelines in the guidebook of what to expect and how to handle that if it happens. The first rule is do not become confrontational. If somebody in authority tells you to stop, you stop. If we're there at all, then somebody has made arrangements. When we are at WSU, we are not on public property. Well, I guess it's a gray area, whatever. We're not in any buildings, that's for sure. Somebody has made arrangements. It was going to be okay. This guy is not on the same page. He's probably wrong, but we're not gonna be having a shouting match on the sidewalk. So that is the first rule, is to not be confrontational. But there are things to do to prevent it in the first place, and then how to handle if it happens. We go to the Hutchinson Community College about once a year. I've helped there a number of times. The one time we were two stories from Hutchinson Community College, one of the instructors brought out a Dillon's bag with about 23 Green Testaments in it. He said, I find them around, I gather them up, and some of them were like new condition, we could give them out again. But the other happened just within the last year. One of the students was not exactly being abusive, but he was letting the Gideons know that they really didn't need to bother being there, and what were they doing there anyway? And the president of the of the college. Is it Carter? I forget his name.
File Carter
happened to be walking by and heard this, and he kind of took the young man to task and told him that they're doing a good thing and you actually need one of those. All right. I say with the little girl in the video, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for the Gideons and more broadly what you have done and are doing for the kingdom of God.